If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. This is Muhammad Jawad hosting this program, and our guest, as always, Sheikh Javid. We are talking about business according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, let me ask you, Sheikh Javid, this question at the beginning of this episode. You know, what's the general ruling in a matter of buying and selling, American goods
or trading in American goods or dealing in American goods. Is this, you know, ruling that you're going to enlighten us with universal? In other words, does it cover all their Western countries such as Britain, France? And is it to observe this ruling only in a particular country like ours, for example, Iran, or is it universal?
Well, in the event that buying of goods which have been imported from non-Muslim countries and using them contribute to strengthening the infidel and colonizing states which are the enemies of Islam and Muslims, or provide them with financial support that they may use to attack Muslims or Islamic lands all over the world, it is the duty of Muslims to refrain from buying and using such goods. And it does not make any difference whether the goods are imported from a country like the United States of America, or it is imported from a country like France, as you mentioned, and also any other country. The nature of the goods of their countries or of origin is immaterial, so long as such countries harbor enmity towards Islam and Muslims. So the ruling is not confined to Iran and Muslims. Actually, it is important and it's very much essential that all Muslims take care of this issue. They should not buy such goods which would help those countries which are hostile to Islam and Muslims. Mm-hmm. And it makes no difference whether that country is, for example, a country so hostile and so atrocious such as Israel, or a country like the United States of America, which actually supports Israel, the criminal state.
Shachabit, but we all know that there's a good number of Muslims who live in the West, and some of whom actually reside in the United States, and they have to work and earn their livelihood, right?
Yes.
So what if they work for, like, you know, some of the factories or establishments that, let's say, generate income for the infidel states, as you mentioned in the previous answer to the question? Well, that would maybe eventually render them or those states stronger or strong.
Well, in itself, we know that there's no problem or no objection to someone working in a country, in a non-Muslim country. That's for sure. Because as long as you're doing a job which is halal, essentially, there's nothing wrong with you. You can continue to do your job. But when it comes to the benefit that it may generate for the non-Islamic state, again, we should see that if that state is in war with Muslims, that's something else. And if it's not in war with Muslims or a Muslim country, that's another issue. In the event that, for example, your job, the job that you are doing, leads to generating profits for non-Islamic state, and it is at war with Muslims and exploits your labor to serve its war machine, then it's not permissible to do a job for that country, for that state. Mm-hmm. But if there's no such likelihood and you are not certain that the benefit of what you do as a job will go towards funding, for example, the war machine, and it's used to, and your, for example, your job and you are being exploited to serve a war machine, when you are not certain, you can continue your job, and there is no objection to you earning your income or earning a halal source of money.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back in a continuing program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sher Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about business, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, Sher Javid, is it permissible to generally work in the government sector in a non-Islamic country?
Well, the permissibility of doing work in a government sector hinges on the job per se, the job that you're doing. And in the event that the job is permissible and lawful in and of itself, there is no objection in doing the job. And as we discussed it in the my previous answer to your question, I should say that, for example, if your doing job leads to generating profit for non-Islamic states, then you have to avoid doing that job. A non-Islamic state that is at war with a Muslim country or with Muslims.
But if they are in peace?
Yeah, and your job or the benefit is going to be used to serve the war machine against Muslims. But if, for example, there is no such thing as war, you know, with Muslims, and your job is also basically and essentially it is halal in itself. There is no problem in doing it and earning money or making a living through that job.
I see. You know, a person works for the traffic administration in an Arab country.
Yes.
Among their responsibilities is to sign for imprisoning of those who violate traffic rules. Is such work permissible? And what's the ruling on the salary the person gets from the government for doing such a job?
Well, you know, the question, the traffic, about traffic administration in an Arab country, which is a Muslim country, for example, obviously, there is no doubt that according to all religious authorities, it is essential for every Muslim to abide by the law. And if you live in a country, you should abide by the law of the country of which you are a national. For example, even if you live in a non-Muslim country, you have to respect the law, the traffic law. As a citizen, you have committed yourself and you have pledged that you would remain an abiding citizen. And if you are an abiding citizen, you have to abide by the law of the government of which you are a national. So you are an American, you have to obey the American law. You are, for example, French, and you have to follow the French law. And when it comes to, for example, to an Arab country, for example, an Arab country is a Muslim country, so it is a must for every Muslim to respect the law, to respect the regulation, and no matter what law that is, because respecting the law will actually create social order. In order for a society to be at peace and to have law and order situation, it's necessary for every citizen to respect the law and to be an obedient citizen. Otherwise, there will be chaos, there will be mayhem, there will be, you know,
disorder.
So that's not good. That's not in the interest of Muslims, nor in the interest of any of humanity.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining us this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws, you know, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei about business. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.